I've got four scriptures I'd like to read tonight. Some of them are quite short. But the first one is in the Epistle to the Galatians in chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I wonder that ye thus quickly change from him that called you in Christ's grace to a different gospel, which is not another one. Then a well-known passage in John's Gospel chapter 14. John 14 and verse 5. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. Now in Acts, I think it's chapter 4. Yes, Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. He is the stone which has been set at naught by you, the builders, which is become the cornerstone, and salvation is in none other. For neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. And finally, a well-known passage in Luke's Gospel, Luke 18, and verse 35. And it came to pass, when he came into the neighbourhood of Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and when he heard the crowd passing, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by. And he called out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were going before rebuked him, that he might be silent. But he cried out so much the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be led to him. And when he drew nigh, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do to thee? And he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, see, thy faith has healed thee. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I'm sure I would be stating the obvious if I said that we live in a world that's full of change. Most of the changes are not for the better, but change there is on every hand. Those changes make me feel the need of the gospel. Because we come back to that which never changes. And I thank God for that. We find that we're in a world that is full of uncertainty. Changes in governments. Changes in laws. Often not for the better. Changes too around us. In the everyday things of life. How many things that there are that change from day to day? Man devises things that he thinks will work to his advantage. And so things are established according to man's laws. But I thank God for the gospel. I thank God for the old, old story. The story that's known in scenes above. The story of Jesus and his glory. The story of Jesus and his love. Friend, that's an anchor for my soul. I don't know whether it is for you. But as I see the effects of changes, I can thank God for his word that does not change. And I stand by it. I thank God for the one who is the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come. And not only do I know him, because I'm told that's who he is in Scripture, but I know him because he's my Saviour and he lives. And tonight, I want to commend God's love to you. the unchanging one, because the love of God towards the sinner is as unchanged tonight as it was 2,000 years ago when he died at Calvary. Those of us who know the story are probably in danger of falling into the same trap as me. And that is that because you know it, the story of that amazing love doesn't touch your heart quite in the way that it should. But when I think of a man who was himself God, who came here and was despised and rejected of men, rejected by those whom he came to save, and yet it never changed his heart toward them, I think it's wonderful. To think that he came to the center of his people, Israel, in Jerusalem, and carried his cross from the city to the place called Golgotha. And there, between two thieves, he was delivered up to death. It never changed his love for the sinner. There upon that cross, he was mocked and scorned. Why? They said, if he could save others, let him save himself. He who, when reviled, reviled not again. When suffering, he threatened not. There was no change with him. Now, the gospel of God's grace has been designed in love to meet the sinner's need, and it does. And the fact is, it can meet your need tonight. Well, you say you know everyone here tonight. Yes, I do. Do I know that everyone's trusting in my Saviour? Yes, I think I do. But there's only one person who really knows, and that's God himself. And you, of course. You know whether you've really trusted this Saviour. The preacher doesn't know. I would be failing in my responsibility tonight if I didn't tell you what Jesus has done. If I didn't tell you that he's died on the cross and shed his precious blood to wash your sins away, so that you might be blessed and know what it is to have peace with God. When did you come to Christ? Was it years and years ago? Some, like me, can't pinpoint the day or the moment that we came. Because through grace we've been brought up in Christian homes where Jesus has been loved and spoken about. Thank God for that. But one thing I know, that I have a Saviour who's died for me. I know what it is to trust him and to have a hope before me of being with him in my heavenly home. And he's made that place for me. He's prepared it for me. He prepared it when he died. Or perhaps I should say, when he died and when he rose again. And now, do you know, he's ascended at God's right hand in heaven. And he's there, and he's just waiting for the Father's call to come and take me and everyone else who loves him to be forever with him. And I can have the blessed assurance in my heart of my Saviour, because he's in the glory and he lives. And he lives tonight. And he lives to save. Why ever did the Galatians want another gospel? Why did they want a different gospel? Why they were searching for a gospel that was based upon the things that they could do. They were looking for a gospel that was based upon law instead of the gospel of divine grace. And Paul, understandably, was quite upset about it. Oh, foolish Galatians, he says at one point. I think it's chapter 3 or maybe 4. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? They thought that the gospel had changed, but they only thought that because they wanted a gospel that suited themselves. They wanted a gospel that they could add to the way they were going on that made it seem acceptable to them, instead of realizing that the gospel of divine grace needs no adaptation. It is the old, old story. It's the story of God's love and of his grace as he sent his only begotten Son to meet the need of the sinner so that we might not perish but might have eternal life. And it will never need changing. It's wonderful, that, isn't it? To think of the power of the blood that was shed, that flowed from his riven side, that redeems us to God and establishes us before God on an entirely new foundation. We can have peace with God. Do you remember that story in the Bible that Jesus told? About the man, or the two men, but one man, who built a house upon a rock. And the winds came, and the streams came, and the rain beat upon it, but the house did not fall, and the scripture tells us, because it was founded upon the rock. I ask you tonight, are you founded upon the rock, which is Christ? There will never need to be a change to that. God has established Christ as the Saviour. And if you're standing upon that firm foundation, it matters not what rains, what storms will come. Your house will stand. And friend, tonight, I can tell you that God has provided the way of salvation for you. And you may have sat in this room or in any other audience and heard the gospel preached. And you may know the story as well as I know it myself, or even better. But if you've never come to Christ, you have not got the assurance of salvation. And I would that tonight you might answer to God's appeal in the gospel. The gospel will never change, but you must, to come into the good of it. Obedience and faith, repentance, coming to Christ just as you are, owning that before him you're a sinner and you need a Saviour. The old, old story tonight's for you. And it's a wonderful story. I often think, you know what it will be when we're in our eternal home. The old, old story of Jesus and his love. We'll sing it throughout eternity. Thank God it'll be a scene where sorrow and sin will have passed forever. And we shall be in the enjoyment of his eternal love. But why will we be there Will there be any saying, oh, it's because of what I did? I used to go to meetings week after week. That's why I'm here. Of course not. It's a transaction with Jesus as your saviour. That's why you're there. It's because he died for you and shed his precious blood so that you might be saved. That's why. The gospel isn't going to change. Lay hold of it by faith tonight and it will be yours. Come to John's gospel. There's not another way. There's only one. That's not what men would have you to think. Men think they can find their way to salvation. Another way. They think that by good works you can establish points with God. But you can't. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Each one of us has sinned before God. There is not one righteous, the scripture tells us, and even confirms it by no, not even one. Not one. Can't squeeze yourself in as an exception. There's only one man that's been perfect, and that's my Saviour. He's the one whom God has appointed and through whom salvation can be found. As Jesus told his disciples in John 14, when he was soon to go away from them, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. For the disciples, things were soon going to change. The Lord himself was soon going to depart from them, and they knew that, for he had told them. Their hearts were filled with anxiety, but he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe on God. Believe also on me. I'm going to prepare you a place. Yes, there was a change in the circumstances in which the disciples would find themselves, but no change with him. The same one who was himself God, who came here and took his place in Bethlehem's manger, the one who walked amongst men, the one who expressed the perfection of God's heart of love towards men throughout his pathway, there was no change in him. And even now, the one who has been into death and has been raised by the glory of the Father and is now ascended at God's right hand in heaven, no change with him. A man lives in heaven tonight, and he's my Saviour. And there is only one way that you can have peace with God, because he tells us so. I am the way, he says. It's a living person. It's not a knowledge even of scripture. It's not a knowledge of truth, though both those things are very important. But what is essential is the knowledge of Christ as your Saviour. That's why Jesus says here to the disciples, when they were disappointed, when their hearts were filled with all sorts of anxieties, wondering what the future held, as often we might, he says, I'm preparing you a place. That's what the future holds. A place that is yours. If you'll just lay hold of it for yourselves and trust in Christ and own him as your personal Saviour, then you can know what it is to come in by way of the way, not a way, and find that there's a door open to you tonight to come in. Tonight, dear friend, enter in, for the day of mercy is soon going to close. Who knows how long that opportunity will be there for you? There's only one time, you know, to come. And that's now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When we come to the book of the Acts, we find that there's only one name. I just want to ask you simply, what does that name mean to you? I've spoken in the past, as I expect you have, to many believers. And you can have some very interesting discussions with them. But when you mention the name of Jesus, suddenly things go quiet. Why is it? Our friend, it's because they don't really know the one who is the door to the way of salvation. Do you know him? What does this name mean to you? Does it ring a chord in your heart? The name of Jesus, the one who has given his all so that you might be redeemed to God? The story of Calvary and of the work that has been accomplished? But do you know the person who was there? I say these things because I know the tendencies of my own heart just to fall back on things that I know rather than to keep foremost in my heart the knowledge of my Saviour. And a day is coming soon when he is going to come for all those that love him. And then that name of Jesus is going to fill those courts above. He'll be the center there. But the question in the gospel is he the center to your heart tonight? Because that's just what he wants to be. Will you answer to God's call? Will you lay hold of the one who is the unchanging one, whose love for you hasn't changed no matter what pathway you've taken? And when I look back over my own pathway and I see the twists and turns that have characterized my pathway here on earth, I wonder at the love of the Saviour that it's still towards me just the same as always it was. We all know that story in Luke 15, don't we? Of the son who went into the far country, but the father's heart was still unchanged. And so it is towards the sinner tonight. The one unchanging God offers all in the precious name of Jesus for you. And what does that name mean? Jesus the Saviour. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Tonight, is that name precious to you? Is it a name that lives in your heart? I tell you, friend, it's a name that's going to live throughout eternity. For he's the man of God's choice. He's at the center of everything that is for the heart of God. And I look forward to a day when we shall be gathered around him, where we shall know what it is to enjoy the fullness of his love without a cloud, where we shall gaze upon him as he is, where we shall see him face to face. You think of that face that was marred more than any man's when he died on Calvary's cross for you and me, and we shall see him as he is. It's a day that I look forward to. But for any to whom the name of Jesus is not precious, I tell you this. Tonight the gospel is preached and there's an opportunity for you to have to do with the Saviour and to know what it is for your sins to be completely washed away. But the scripture tells us that soon he's coming, and when he does, the door of mercy will be closed. There will be no further opportunity for you to hear the message of salvation, let alone accept it. The opportunities that you have had will be opportunities lost. And you will face an eternity amongst those that are lost. And friend, why should you? when you know the appeal of his love is towards you tonight. I think the beggar in Luke 18 had a sense of that, you know. He heard that Jesus was passing by. There was no time to be lost. It was an opportunity. Speaking simply, Jesus was on his way to the cross. And here was this man who needed a saviour and he needed his sight. There was no other time for this beggar to be saved. It says here that he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then, when those rebuked him that he might be silent, he cried out so much the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Maybe Jesus is passing by tonight. Are you still in your sins? Why would you not say, "Jesus, have mercy on me"? Because he will. If it comes from your heart in true repentance, make this that there's no other time but now. And that's what the scripture says, quite simply. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It's one of Satan's most successful tactics, you know. Not to deny the truth, but just say, "Think about it. Just wait until tomorrow. Or wait until next week. See if the gospel preacher confirms it all." No, you need to come now. Time is urgent. What would it be to be lost when all those that love him have gone to be with him and the gospel's not preached anymore? I don't want to be dramatic, but it's an awful thing to envisage. We come to this room at 6:30 on our Lord's Day evening and we just expect that everyone will be there. We expect that those that have arranged for the preaching to be preached, that somebody's coming, somebody will preach. We take it for granted that that will happen. But one day it won't. You think of the awfulness of realizing those opportunities that you had and you missed them. And the Lord's words to those in the Bible who were too late, when he had to say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You make sure he doesn't say that to you. And you can tonight. You can make absolutely certain. As the hymn writer says, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Friend, have you had a foretaste of what it will be to be eternally with your Saviour? Do you know what it is to trust him and put your hand in his? Do you know what it is for that unchanging love to be an anchor for your soul? You think of that man that said in the Bible, "Soul, well, enjoy yourself." And God says to him, "Soul, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You don't need another gospel. You don't need another way. You don't need another name. And there's no other time like now to accept your Saviour. May you do so for his name's sake.